From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters. Live here at First String Sports, October 4th, year of our Lord, 2025. We are in the month of October. October is always one of the biggest months of the year for me. High school football, summer sports show, all the stuff I do on air. And then teaching-wise, it's a little cuckoo. And if you're a teacher out there, especially like junior high, elementary, you got Red Ribbon Week at the end of the month. Halloween falls on a Friday this year. It's going to be a nightmare, and we allow costumes at our school. So that week is just going to be nuts, but full swing here in October. I love this month. The weather is changing, that's for sure. I had to put on my jacket while broadcasting the Clovis West and Clovis East game last night. So, yeah, I think this October ushers in a new season, a different phase of the high school football season as well, fall sports in general. So if you're unfamiliar with the show, 2 hours, 10 to 12 every Saturday, talking about high school sports, focusing on the Central section. A little bit of Fresno State talk we're going to have today. Bulldogs kicking off tonight at 7:30, Valley Children's Stadium, against those Wolfpackers from Nevada. But I do my show every Saturday from First String Sports to the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side. First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. And I wouldn't want to do my show anywhere else but this location here. Fantastic employees. They'll hook you up with a Letterman's jacket. Heck, in fact, I see it looks like a Clovis North jacket there on the counter, laying it out, getting everything squared away. Sanger to my left. Madera had a good win last night. Hoover won a football game as well. There's Sunnyside Central, Selma, Kerman had a big win against CVC at home. So good stuff happening here at First String Sports. Definitely thanks to them for being my day one sponsors. Also want to give a shout out to Clovis Stone Masonry and Landscape Supply. They sponsored the show, located on Sunnyside, just south of Herndon. And also a shout out to Raw Farms. They are our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week sponsors. Phil Benani does a great job with that. Brings in a superstar student athlete. I mean, we've gone as far as Visalia. Rossi's driven all the way up to Fresno. Phil's show on Thursday, live from Fashion Furniture. And they get the hookup. It's cool. It's cool. Not only interview, picture taken, blasted out social media, but they get invited to a huge banquet that we put together at the end of the year. We have a male student athlete of the year, a female student athlete of the year. We give them money, scholarship money. So if there is a student athlete out there that catches your attention, go ahead and nominate them. 1430ESPNFresno.com. Boom, drop down menu, and we look at all the candidates. We vote on it. So good stuff, man. We're very, very happy to do that. On the show today, after the break, I'm going to break down some games. Lots of really, really good football games last night, including ours. Man, that Clovis West and Clovis East game was, man, that was a burner, man. That was a fun game to cover. But lots of really good games up and down the Central section. I'll break those down after the break. Tanvir Singh, who was with us providing stats, is going to jump in. He's producing the show. Also to talk about that game and maybe a few other games that caught our attention. Eric Brown, the head coach at Clovis West, he's coming on the show. We're going to do a little phone conversation around 10:40 or so. I might as well mention that game, right, as far as the score goes. 28-21, Clovis West came back. They were down 21-0. Clovis East had dominated that first half. Defense was on point. Rushing the ball was their bread and butter. And Clovis West looked dead in the water. They had a final drive with 1:37 left on the clock. The result in a touchdown just before halftime. Scored on the next three possessions. Played great defense. And voila, there it is. Victory for Clovis West to begin track. Eric Brown, who has done a fantastic job with that program, is coming on to talk about that great win. That great win. They moved to 5-1 on the season. At the top of hour number two, I'm excited, man. I got Roosevelt coach Ricky McCoy here. He's coming in live at First String Sports. Rough Riders are 6-0 after shutting out Sunnyside 19-0 on Thursday. They're going to be taking on an undefeated McLean team next week. That's going to be for the NYL title for sure. No doubt about that. So excited about Ricky coming on. It's my first time talking with him. We've exchanged some texts. But if you remember, he's a Roosevelt grad, went to the University of Washington right out of high school, transferred to Fresno State, was on the Mountain West Championship team, had a block kick against San Diego State. So he's a dude. Excited to chat it up with him. At the bottom of hour number two, Stephen Hicks, the ABC 30 sports director, is coming on. Stephen comes on once a year, does a fantastic job with his show at 11:15. I try to make it home the best I can. His Friday Night Light show on ABC 30 is excellent. Excellent production value. Do a great job. Tons of highlights. And, yeah, it's always great to catch up with Stephen. He's a pretty good golfer. Pretty good golfer as well. He's a backpacking kind of guy, too. Post pictures of him out in these crazy areas. So, yeah, always fun to talk with Stephen. We'll talk a little Bulldog football as well as they kick off at 7:30 tonight. All right, so we're going to chop up that Clovis West and Clovis East game a little bit more. Tampa, your next segment is jump on and then coach Eric Brown a little bit after that. On Thursday, I was able to check out the Central East and the Clovis North game. So there's three Thursday games that Central plays this year. The Clovis North game last night, the Clovis West game on October 17th. That's going to be at La Monica. And then the October 31st, Friday, Halloween, it's going to be a Thursday game at Buchanan at Veterans. Coach Kyle Biggs came on after the Liberty game. He wasn't real happy. Wasn't real happy with his team's performance. They only beat Liberty of Bakersfield 35-33. So he wasn't real pleased with that game, to put it mildly. And so I asked him after that game, like, how are you guys going to approach the bye week? And he's like, I'm like, well, are you going to, you know, just kind of reset? Are you going to take it easy a little bit and then push them hard the next week? He's like, heck no. Heck no. We're going full board, man. Either you're in or you're out. And so I was really curious how they were going to respond against Clovis North. And Clovis North was coming off that nice win against Frontier. Again, the Frontier gave them a little bit of scare. They scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. But Clovis North was undefeated going into that Central game. A lot of people thought that, hey, you know, Clovis North, are they the real deal? Are they going to challenge for the track title? But, you know, Coach Kyle Biggs seems, you can't doubt those guys. They came out firing all cylinders. A lot of people texted me, they're like, hey, what's the deal with these guys? Are they healthy or did they get some guys back? You know, final score is 56-14. There's a running clock in the fourth quarter, 42-7 at half. I'm like, no, they just had a really good week or two of practice. And yes, everyone was healthy and they looked sharp. They looked like they did at the end of last year, which was scary. Just, again, firing on all phases. Got a couple turnovers as well. Defense was flying around the football. Have some stats here I want to throw out. Brandon Smith looked really, really good. Had 139 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. And that Wildcat play that they have is pretty much unstoppable when he's in the backfield, those short yardage situations that we've seen a ton of times from the Central Grizzlies and now the Central East Bengals. Jelani Dipple was really good at quarterback, 15-24 for 197 and three touchdowns. And Bayon Harris, the 6'3", 6'4", 6'3½ wide receiver, has an offer from Fresno State. He made two highlight reel catches in that second quarter. Pretty sure it was second quarter, but first half at least. One was in the back of the end zone, a toe tapper. I didn't think he was going to be able to get it. Leaped up and brought it down. And another one was he just went up and got it through the right side of the end zone, and he just out jumped Clovis North. So Central East back on top, right? Back on top, no doubt. According to the high school ratings, they've now created a little bit of a gap between them and number two Clovis High. Clovis North is still sticking at number three on high school ratings.com. Still 5-1. Clovis West is now 4. Bakersfield Christian is at 5. They're a base D2 team. And there's Frontier at 6. I'm still surprised by that. Despite that 2-4 record, they are number 6 on high school ratings. There's Bakersfield High, Division 2 base at 7. Tulare Union, a huge win yesterday at 8, base D2. And then there's Clovis East, a fell a little bit. And St. Joseph. God, that team is going to be scary. They might sneak up into that top 8 in the top division of Division 1. And I don't know if they have the offense to compete with the track, but they're going to be a really, really tough football team in the playoffs with that defense. Got a few more minutes here. There's something that popped up on Cal High Sports I thought was really, really cool. I'm a big proponent of Cal High Sports. You guys should subscribe. It's a no-doubter. It's like, what, $7 a month? $7 a month you guys can definitely afford. They came out with their top 25 high school football players the last 25 years. This is kind of based on the three different levels. I shouldn't say kind of. It is based on the three different levels, high school, college, and what they do as a pro. Focus more, though, on their high school years. Number one is a little bit of a surprise. Again, top 25 high school players that went on to play college and pro. Jake Browning from Folsom is number one on the list. We've watched him the last couple of weeks, unfortunately for the Bengals, filling in for Joe Burrow. But his high school numbers were absolutely gaudy. Gaudy. You know he threw 91 touchdown passes his senior year. 91. Threw for 5,790 yards. He's making some money, though, in the NFL, right? But, yeah, those high school numbers are crazy. Jaden Daniels from Cajon San Bernardino is number two on the list. Bryce Young from Modern Day is number three, current quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. And Toby Gerhardt, that's a name that a lot of people remember because of his days at Stanford. He was incredible at Norco, graduated in 05. Didn't have a very long NFL career, but he was a stud at Stanford and a stud at Norco. Man, his senior year, what did he rush for, like 3,000 yards? God, crazy in 11 games. Nuts. Najee Harris, I think, ruptured his Achilles. He's out for the year from Antioch, what he did at Alabama. Tyron Smith, there's a lineman in there, Cowboys lineman. He played at Rancho Verde in Moreno Valley. Reggie Bush at number 7. Just a few highlighted guys. Maurice Jones-Drew from De La Salle's at number 8. Very fun list. So, guys, go ahead and check that out. If you're wondering about our Central Valley guys, again, taking consideration high school, college, and pro, we have anybody in the top 25. And you're probably thinking, where the heck is our guy, man? Where's Josh Allen at? Well, he is just outside the top 25. He might sneak in there later. Here's Richard Sherman at number 13 from Compton. Jared Goff is only 14, right? Okay, so Josh didn't make it to the top 25. And Kazmir Allen is on the list as well. National record in touchdowns from a running back. But, yeah, they took into account Josh's high school career, which we know, 0 stars, just wasn't on really anybody's radar in Wyoming. Decent career, right? Junior college route, but NFL MVP, that's got to count for a lot. I think he's going to win another one this year. My money's on that. Literally, my money is on that. I placed a futures bet on Josh to win the MVP again. All right, so just a fun little info for you guys, some fun content. Well, I'm going to take a break right now, and we got a ton of games to go over. Lots of really good football games last night. Excited to share those scores with you guys. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. give you guys a little tease of some of the great games from yesterday. There were some games played on Thursday night. What do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games played on Thursday. Hoover with a nice win, 37-12 over Fresno High. So the Patriots improved to 3-3 on the season. Roosevelt shut out Sunnyside. Great win for the Rough Riders, 19-0. We're going to hear from Coach Ricky McCoy around 11:05. Excited to talk to him. They are 6-0, setting up a huge game next week against the 6-0 Highlanders from McLean. That's going to be must-see football. Foothill of Bakersfield defeated Miramonte 36-33. And the game that I talked about a little bit, Central East defeated Clovis North 56-13. Statement game from the Bengals. Tulare Union, and there's still a lot of people out there. When I said the Bengals, even Pat Hill last night, it was just Pat Hill and I on the broadcast. Even Pat Hill, when I said the Bengals, he's like, who the heck are the Bengals? So I had to explain to him all that crazy stuff about breaking up the schools and whatever. That's going to take a long, long time to get used to. In the West Yosemite League, Tulare Union setting up their huge game next week against Hanford, 49-14 over Lemoore. Points of plenty next week in that game. That game is going to be a home game for the Tribe. Wait till you guys hear how many points Hanford and Dinuba put up last night. That game was wild as well. In non-league action, north of Bakersfield defeated Arvin 34-0. So last night in the CMAC, Justin Garza holds on to defeat a very competitive San Joaquin Memorial team, 38-35. Madera holds on to beat Edison of Fresno, 34-26. Coach Kenny Palinelli, with only that one loss on the season to Merced. Anthony Estrada just doing incredible things at running back for the Coyotes. And the kid is a freshman. Yeah, and he is taking this season by storm so far. So, yeah, that's a kid that we're going to keep an eye on for a long time. So, good win for Madera. Sanger, this game with Bullard was tied at 7 for the longest time, but the Apaches score a late touchdown and beat the Knights 13-7. In East Sequoia League action, Farmersville gets on the winning side of football, defeated Granite Hills 28-21. Lindsay over Corcoran 22-0. Orosi 40, Strathmore 24. So good win from the Cardinals. And those Tigers from Woodlake keep putting up points, 58-7 over Orange Cove. In East Yosemite League action, Golden West all over Mount Whitney, 52-8. I don't think Golden West is going to lose a football game this year in a regular season. Very, very good chance that they're going to go 10-0 on the season. Coach Anderson and his staff, they got that program dialed in right now. They got the horses too, right? It helps when you got an exciting quarterback and exciting wide receiver. So, yeah, they are going to be the no doubt Division III number one seed, in my opinion. Menachie, man, that program's been having some success the last couple years. 49, LD6. And Redwood and Porterville, this is a game that kept going back and forth, checking it on Max Preps last night. 42-40. The Rangers beat Porterville. We were able to watch Redwood and Hanford a few weeks ago. That game didn't have as many points as we thought. Ended up being a 28-15 win. But, yeah, a lot of points given up by Redwood to Porterville. So, a two-point win, 82 points total on that one. In High Desert League, got to keep the Desert League people happy. Bishop over Rosemont, 62-6. Boron, 46. Kern Valley, 38. And the Mountain League, Aurora Grande, 56. They put up a lot of points. Paso, 14. And St. Joseph, 40. Mission Prep, 0. I see a lot of zeros from St. Joseph. They are a base D1 team. So come playoff time, they're going to be facing some really, really good football teams. They only have that one loss on the year to Tulare Union in the opening week, 27-24. But, gosh, St. Joseph, I got to get some film on those guys. Why is their defense so good? I got to check those out. McLean over Torres, 42-0 in North Yosemite League. Sanger West putting up lots of points as well. What's going on over there? 49-0 over Madera South. Northwest Sequoia League, Chowchilla 54, Riverdale 0. Liberty Madera 55, Fowler 14. Minarets holds off Carruthers 36-27. In South Sequoia League action, Kennedy of Delano defeated Delano High 56-6. Delano came in undefeated, so huge win for the Thunderbirds. Shafter 55-7 coming off of their loss. Wasco 48, Chavez 0. In South Yosemite action in the Mountain League, Tehachapi over East Bakersfield 41-7, West 28, South 12. Frontier of Bakersfield bounces back after their loss to Clovis North, beating Stockdale 49-6. Garces 16, Centennial 7. That was actually a 7-6 game for a long time, so Garces comes back to win that one. Bakersfield all over Highland 63-0. Bakersfield Christian ranked number 5 overall in the Central Section, 35 Ridgeview 0. Let's go down to the Tri-County League. Kings Canyon Division, Kerman defeats Central Valley Christian 39-20. Kerman now improves to 6-1 on the season. Kingsburg and Washington Union, really entertaining game there in Easton. Vikings win 35-28. A couple of return touchdowns, kickoff return touchdowns, really turn the tide in Kingsburg's favor. Really, really talented kid. Cooper Holt, Cade Holt's younger brother, with an 85-yard kickoff return, traded scores, and then kicked, and then returned one for 94 yards, according to Coach Dave Wilson. So, highly entertaining game down there in Easton. Vikings are on a nice little run right now, improved to 4-2 on the season. Clovis High shuts out Buchanan 25-0. Saw one highlight. That's kind of all I needed to see. Carlos Young made this phenomenal catch. If you're on the Twitter, the X, find it. Find it. Gabe Camarillo put it out there as well. I retweeted it. God, incredible catch. One-handed catch on the sidelines. Great throw by Deegan Rose, but one of those leaping one-handed catch stays in bounds from Carlos Young. So, yeah, the Cougars open up track with a win. Let me look at my schedule here. So Clovis is going to be taking on Clovis North and Clovis East, then Central, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN. And then, like always, they're going to end the regular season with their traditional game against Clovis West. So good win for Clovis there. Our game that we're going to be chatting about right now. I got Tanvir producing the show. He was right next to Coach Pat Hill and I last night on the broadcast. Did a great job with the stats. So that crazy 28-21 win for the Golden Eagles over Clovis East. Gosh, I thought Clovis West was dead in the water after being down 21-0. Four straight possessions they scored touchdowns on. Defense was lights out in the second half. Tanvir, we actually were able to chop up the game in the post-game show last night. So, again, what are your thoughts this morning about the game? Have a little bit more time to kind of process things. But, gosh, what a great win for Clovis West. On the flip side, Clovis East had them dead in the water but couldn't finish.
Yeah, for sure. And I slept on it for a little bit, looked back at kind of this play sheet that I had, and there was a couple of drives that I think really changed this game. I think the first drive that I want to kind of highlight is after Clovis East had taken a 21-0 lead, they got an interception off of J.J. Howard, and they were at the 43-yard line of Clovis West. And Clovis West defense did really well to create a three and out at that point. And then the second drive was literally right after that, where, you know, Clovis East had a 19-yard rush to start the drive after Clovis West stalled out. And Clovis East was held to a field goal after getting near the red zone. After the fact, you know, Clovis West got that touchdown at the end of the half, and then it was all Clovis West from there. So, you know, we were talking about how Clovis West's defense kind of tightened up in that second half. I would go ahead and say, you know, that Clovis West defense, their two biggest stops were probably at the end of that second quarter to not have the lead balloon to 28 or even 35 when their backs were against the wall, especially when, you know, you have back-to-back drives where you have a turnover.
And there were three really bad turnovers for Clovis West in that first half as well. Yeah, I remember that interception. It was the safety came over and undercut the receiver. I think it was RJ Jefferson, and there might have been a penalty in there. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly, but I they were in prime position to go up big. And that final drive that Clovis West put together at the end of the second quarter, and then the momentum, then getting those three touchdowns in the second half. Who are some players that really stood out to you? Maybe even on both sides. We talked about Jamie Spurgeon for Clovis East, how he had 59% of the team's rushing yards coming into that game. Obviously, right? All the passing yards. I think there was maybe a fake punt in there that somebody else completed, but he is basically their entire offense, and that's really tough to sustain, especially in the track. But are there some other dudes that really pop for you?
Yeah, just right before, I wanted to circle back to what you said about that that last drive. Again, just looking at what this play sheet said, Clovis West had 136 total offensive yards in that first half, and half of them were all on that last drive. So you can see how important that last drive was. In terms of players that I was impressed with, I really thought RJ Jefferson played really well. Five receptions for 126 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. I thought defensively, I think there is a lot of players. I think Dimmer played really well. I think there was a lot of good players in the secondary for Clovis West. I'd like to shout out all of them, to be honest with you, because I think they locked up that passing game, especially when Clovis East started to pass the ball more and more as we got into the later stages of the game. In terms of Clovis East, I think besides Jamie Spurgeon, who I thought had a really good game, he had under 30 pass yards, pass TD, 8 carries for 85 and a rush TD. You know, he was kind of all of their offense. But Lindsey Graves, I thought, had a pretty good day as well, coming back to this Clovis East team. You know, no other player on this team got over 40 yards in terms of offense besides Graves and Spurgeon. So those two guys, I think, looked really, really well. But beyond that, I think it was more of a defensive performance. You know, this Clovis East team got 5 sacks over the entire game. That defensive line is for real. But I would like to see a little bit more consistency from the rest of their weapons moving forward.
So J.J. Howard with 4 touchdowns to 4 different receivers, made some really impressive throws. But we got to be honest, right? The first half, he wasn't clicking. He wasn't really in sync with his wide receivers. The timing just wasn't there. But how impressed were you, right? You talk about the maturity, only a sophomore, right? Thrown into the fire last year as a 14-year-old. What did you really like about him in the second half?
I like that he used his athleticism a lot more when we got to the second half. I felt like Clovis East was doing really well at containing him inside of the pocket in that first half. And then when we got to the second half, you saw a lot more rollouts, a lot more bootlegs from Clovis West that were designed, but also you saw him run the ball a little bit more. Obviously, he didn't run the ball like Spurgeon did, but he was still able to get the yards when necessary. So I really liked that adjustment out of the Clovis West team, those 4 pass TDs, I think, really show his ceiling. You know, I've seen him in 2 games now. Obviously, him being a sophomore is a little bit of a learning curve for him, because when it's not clicking, it can be a little bit detrimental to the offense. But when he is clicking, I think you can put him up against any of the quarterbacks in this section, to be honest with you, because he has a spark about him that I don't think many other quarterbacks do.
I agree. And all of his 4 touchdown passes, they were different types of plays, right? Not one play was the same as the other. A couple, you know, bullets. There was one, a skinny post over the middle. And then the easiest one was that, just kind of a lob throw to his running back out of the backfield. Major Lee was able to basically walk into the end zone. So right. Impressive. And you talk about the maturity of a football player, right? You go from, you know, maybe just trying to survive and, you know, the game is really, really fast to then just playing winning football. And we definitely saw that from J.J. Howard. I felt, too, like Clovis West exploited some matchups, right, as far as their wide receivers, just kind of going one-on-one. We didn't see a lot of double teams. We didn't see a lot of safety help on, except for that one interception, right? But that
right.
was in the first half. But second half, I felt like Clovis West receivers were, there were a lot of open guys.
Yeah, so I think when you have a front like Clovis East does, and the fact that they were getting able to, they were able to get to the quarterback as much as they were in the early stages of that game, you saw Howard not necessarily have the amount of time that he needed. And I think when you have bootlegs and you have these plays where you can give the quarterback a little bit more time and kind of move the point of throw, I think that allows Clovis, that allowed Clovis West to really open up the passing game, and really you saw the deep throws connecting at that point, because I think early you saw Howard try and connect on those deep throws, and it was just a matter of, first of all, it was really sticky coverage, but also he didn't have that much time to accurately throw the ball. So that's why I really like how they shifted at the offense towards that, and were able to hit on a lot more big plays as we went into the second half.
I agree. We're going to hear from Coach Eric Brown in a few minutes. Excited to talk to him. Thanks, Navier. Appreciate it.
Yep.
In West Sierra League action, one of the great games from last night, Kalinga defeated Fireball on the last play of the game, a tip ball in the end zone that was caught by Kalinga. So hearts were breaking for the Fireball Eagles, but Kalinga with a dramatic win in that one. Dos Palos all over Avenel, 56-0. Mendola over Tranquility, 63-0. Hanford and Dinuba, I mentioned this earlier. How about 115 total points in this game? Hanford 72, Dinuba 43. Crazy, crazy game. Jared Mao with a huge game at quarterback. 5 touchdown passes in that one. Receiver, one of the receivers at, 222 yards. Let me go back to this right here. Tavion Patterson, 12 receptions for 222 and 4 of those touchdown catches. Lots of points in that one. Tulare Western defeated Mission Oak 39-19. Reedley with a good win over Hanford West, 43-7. And the Central Grizzlies, yes, those Central Grizzlies, Central West defeated Modesto Christian 21-19. All right, we'll take a break, and we're going to bring on Coach Eric Brown, who is ready at the helm. Excited to hear from him about breaking down his great win from his perspective. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. So we've been blessed the last couple of weeks with two really good football games to call on 1430 ESPN. Last week, the Frontier and Clovis North game. And then last night, Coach Pat Hill and I broadcast the Clovis East and Clovis West game. And a great game. Absolute great game. Tavier and I broke it down a little bit, the 28-21 comeback win for the Golden Eagles. But we want to hear from the coach himself, the guy that was down on the field doing an amazing job coaching these guys to a victory. Coach Eric Brown joins us via telephone right now. So, Coach Brown, man, how you doing this morning? It's always a good Saturday morning when you win a football game, right?
Oh, big time. And there was points last night where it didn't feel like it was going to be a great Saturday morning. So I'm happy that it's a happy Saturday.
You got soccer again? Because last time we chatted on air, you had to get yourself quick to your daughter's soccer game.
Yeah, so we're actually at my nephew's soccer game right now, and then Harper plays at 1 o'clock, so she'll be ready. She's already warming up.
She's already getting stretched out, getting ready. That's awesome. All right, I want to start talking about the game at halftime. You guys come back with that nice drive, build some momentum after a lot of things didn't go your way in that first half, down 21-7. But what were you guys talking about? I know the coaching staff, you know, kind of that long walk to the locker room to talk about your team when you're down, some adjustments that you guys had to make. So what did you guys discuss and as a coaching staff, and then what did you tell the players at half?
Well, I think the first thing that you said was so critical is that we scored. We went on a two-minute drill. right at the end of half and scored. And the whole time, you know, as we went through that process, we were talking about we're going to score and we get the ball coming out of halftime and this is going to be a normal football game really quickly. So I think a lot of it was just belief in what we were doing and needing to execute better. Yeah, there were some things that we needed to change a little bit at halftime, but in the end, it was just doing what we do better.
Was it a case that you knew it was only a matter of time, right? Again, a lot of things didn't go your way, a fumble, an interception. Clovis East dominated the time of possession as well. Was it just a case of like, hey, our time's going to come. We're going to hit on a few of these passes. Was that the mentality?
Yeah, and I think it has to be that way. And we're a pretty skilled team, as you saw last night. You know, at some point, I guess the dam's going to break and the water's going to flow. So we just had to just keep grinding at it. And like I said, you know, JJ had his struggles early on and he knew it. And he kind of had the mindset going into that last drive of the half and then coming out at halftime that he was prepared to take over the game. And he really did that. But he did a good job of mixing up, getting other receivers involved. And the plan was to pass the ball more than we had. And, you know, when your quarterback struggles early, it's going to be hard to advance that game plan. But he really snapped out of it and played really good in the second half.
Okay, so let's go back to that final drive. So under 2 minutes, I think it was 137. That's kind of what I wrote down. I don't remember exactly what yard line you guys were at to start that drive to end the second half. Do you remember? Around the 30?
Yeah, somewhere around the minus 30, yeah.
Yeah.
And we had two timeouts, so, you know, as you know, that's plenty of time. You know, anywhere around a minute with two timeouts, you should be able to advance the ball and give yourself a chance to put one in the end zone. And we ended up really scoring with 25 seconds left. So it was a quick, and I didn't take a timeout. So the kids did a great job advancing the ball, getting out of bounds, getting set fast. The first down slows the clock for a minute. So they did a good job of executing a two-minute drill that we practice every single week.
And you know as well as anyone, it's when you're coaching high school kids, the tendency to panic on those types of situation, you see it a lot, but I didn't see really any panic or really any hurry. You know what I mean? In that last yeah. drive, you guys really work on that. You discussed that a lot. That's just kind of almost become, you know, just a part of the process and almost second nature.
Yeah. The more you work at it for sure. And we talk all the time about keeping our composure. And we talk a ton about our response to adversity, you know, and that's really, we always say E plus R equals O. It's event plus response equals outcome. So we're more about the response to adversity than we are to, you know, the event itself. So our kids bought into that and, you know, they kept their composure. And I think the more you prepare for those situations, the more you're able to produce.
So then you guys come back with those three straight touchdowns in the second half to take that 28-21 lead. At what point in the football game did you really feel like it tilted in your advantage? Was there a certain play that you remember on the field or maybe even something that somebody said? You're like, hey, guys, I think, the momentum's definitely on our side. We're looking really, really strong right now.
Honestly, scoring coming out of halftime, I felt like if we scored on that first drive out of halftime, we had a real shot to win the game. And as soon as we actually did punch it in on that drive, I knew we were going to win the game. I just you could feel the momentum shift. You could feel a little bit of them feeling it slip away. And that happens, you know, when you feel a team come back like that and you threw your best punch and that team kind of responds and shows back up. You get tighter on that other sideline. So you could feel that within the game. And our kids just kept, you know, defensively, we just talked about we need to stack stops and our offense is going to score. And our defense really stepped up in that second half and the ball barely moved.
Well, let's talk about that defense playing shutout football in that second half was huge. We know that Jamie Spurgeon is a load at quarterback. He is a big boy, and he was, you know, he was gashing. He's not afraid, right? He's a lot of quarterback draws and some keepers as well. So, like, defensively, what how happy were you with the team's performance, especially in that second half?
Yeah, the second half, that was a really good job. And, you know, we made some adjustments at halftime and kind of got into a little bit of a nickel package. And, you know, it's a deal that we work a decent amount, but not all the time. But our athletes got on the field, and we wanted to keep more linebackers around the box just because of how good that kid is running the ball. And our kids, you know, did a good job of adjusting, and really they just played physical and hard.
Titus Dimmer, number four, he stands out in any football game that that anybody is able to watch when you guys are on the field. Like, talk about him, man. You're a defensive guy. He's your type of dude. So just talk about his impact in the game. A couple big hits, right? A couple oohs and ahs from the crowd when number four hits somebody. What does he mean to your defense, and how good is that kid?
Yeah, I mean, he means just about everything to our defense. He sets the tone. He flies around, and he shows up with violence, you know, and that's kind of old-school football. But he does it in a way where he's athletic enough to move around with the skill that presents itself in this day and age of football. So he's awesome to coach. I mean, the kid's tough as nails. And, you know, if we need a yard on offense or a yard on a punt team or anything, we're giving that dude the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the mood like in the locker room after the game?
It was interesting because I came up to the top and – door was shut, and my coaches were standing outside, and they said the kids wanted to talk before you got in there. They wanted to meet. And so I wasn't sure what was going on, so I knocked on the door and opened it, and they cranked up the music and had a big dance party. So they were hyped up. They were excited. And when I talked to them, I said the first thing that I felt when I walked in the room was belief. And I think if you can come back in a way like that and just trust the process, that's so big for your team and the belief going forward. Because, you know, like we talked last night, Paul, this is we've got some older guys and some vets that have done it and gone through it. But mostly you got young guys, especially at the skill position, that haven't experienced it yet. And last year we took our lumps, and we're learning how to win. So this is a big part of the process, is belief in what you're doing and, you know, sticking to it. And then coming back and winning, that's so huge for our team morale.
And I saw you guys were pretty pumped even before the game. It's probably a ritual that you guys do. And, you know, winning football games with a young team can be really tough, especially in the track. But what does that win just kind of do? You mentioned the confidence and the belief and all that stuff. But, you know, you played in the track. You coach in the track. How important is it to get that first win in an opener?
No, it's huge. And you know me, we're always going to talk about going 1-0. And what I told the kids last night is every time you go 1-0, the next one becomes more important. So it's huge to get the first one. And this is such a balanced league this year. And I think there's so many really good teams that it's going to be battles every single week. And our kids just got to keep fighting to go 1-0, so the next one's more important.
So it's five wins in a row for you guys after that opening loss at Edison of Huntington Beach. We got a couple minutes here with Coach Eric Brown. What do you think is the most underrated aspect of this year's team, something that people don't talk about yet?
You know, I think with the skill guys that we have and the receivers getting offers and the quarterback getting offers, I think what we've been able to do defensively is really important to our success. And then also what we've been able to do running the ball with kind of an undersized O-line. And I think, you know, the running back crew that we have, they're doing a great job. Major Lee's one of the guys that is a skill guy with a bunch of offers. But, you know, our O-line is sticking to it. And if you can run the ball, you're going to set up all those skill guys to be more successful. So, I would say probably our run game and our defensive performances so far.
All right. Good stuff, EB. Appreciate you, man. Great win last night. It was fun to be on the call with Pat Hill and that great relationship that you have with him. Where was he able to give you a call last night or a text?
Yeah, so he called me this morning, probably a little too early for me because he gets up a little earlier than I do on a Saturday. but I called him back a little bit ago, so he was fired up, and he had some advice for me, as he always does. But that was awesome to have you guys there and to have, 1430 on site and, for an exciting game for everybody. But it's always cool to have a great man, Coach Hill, basically part of the family to me, and a mentor to me. So it was awesome to have him on the call.
All right. It was a lot of fun to be on the call with him and to watch you guys come back and win in your track opener 28-21. Hey, enjoy that soccer time with your family and your daughter, and have a good rest of the day. Appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. And I appreciate you, man. It's awesome what you do for the Valley and local sports.
All right. Good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We got Ricky McCoy. He's here at First String Sports, Roosevelt Rough Riders coach. Excited to chop it up with him. He's a Valley guy through and through and doing amazing things with that program. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Had a great show so far, man. I love talking high school sports. Got to be honest. I hope that comes through when I'm talking on air broadcasting. It's just different, man. High school sports is just special. It's a special time for kids. It's you get a few players to go on and play college, and if you're good enough, you can play in the pros. But there's nothing like high school sports. The camaraderie, the Friday night lights, the basketball games, right? Your classmates are cheering for you, and all that great stuff. So thanks to First String Sports for sponsoring the show, and where I do my show every Saturday from 10 to 12. This place is always busy, man. It's rocking and rolling right now. Tons of Letterman's jackets are out, getting adjusted and getting patches put on. If you missed any part of any of the shows, just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. All the shows are, boom, right there. Commercial free. But make sure you visit our sponsors, right, if you're listening to the show live. So, again, thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to all the sponsors that make this possible. I'm excited about talking to this next guy because I've read about him. I watched him on TV when he played for the Bulldogs and now doing great things back at his alma mater. Ricky McCoy is here live at First String Sports. Rough Riders are 6-0 after shutting out Sunnyside on Thursday, 19-0. Part of that 2018 Mountain West Championship team defeated Boise, one of the great moments in Fresno State history. We're definitely going to talk about that as well. So, Ricky, thanks for coming, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's my pleasure. The fact that I'm here means that probably doing some things good. So, yeah.
You are, absolutely. So, we're in the Letterman's jacket room, right? You're a Roosevelt Rough Rider. Did you get one of these things? You got a Letterman's jacket or not?
Yeah.
You got one?
Got a nice one, man. Black leather, green sleeves. Oh, man. Yeah, yes, sir. I still have yet to put all those patches on there yet. But
we got to do it. Look right here. They'll do it for you. We should have thought that out. They could have put them on right there and walked out with them on.
All right. I'm going to have to make another trip back then.
All right. We'll have to get you back on here. All right. So let's talk about that game on Thursday. Sunnyside, they've had a really good program in the past, some coaching changes as well, some personnel changes, different type of team that we've seen in the last few years. Thursday night games, right, whatever, sometimes it has a different feel, but going into that football game, just kind of what was the game plan, right? You knew you could do some things offensively, but you knew you had to shut them down. What were you guys thinking as a coaching staff?
That was the plan. The plan is always, give up nothing and, score a whole lot on offense. But it doesn't always go that way. We knew what we wanted to do offensively. Marcus Hawkins, the defensive coordinator, is a guy that came out of high school around the same time that I did. So, good guy, great football player, and I knew he was gonna have something for us. blitzing a bunch, a lot of movement. So it was good for our offense to see that. And our plan on defense was, that quarterback they got, number 8. I'm not quite sure what his name is, but man, he's shifty. He is shifty. And quarterback run game is hard to contain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we're not gap sound and, we're not containing, which we did in a few times. So, had to get the D-line right. That was our plan, to slow him down, not let anything over the top in preparation for what we're going to see this week. That was – These two games, what I preached to my kids was, man, Sunnyside's a championship game.
Yeah.
Team we haven't beaten in a long time, 9 years.
Wow.
Would have been 10 if we didn't handle business on Thursday. So that was one of our main emphasis all week.
So walk us through some of the key plays, or maybe how you guys scored. How'd you guys put up 19?
My running back, man, he's special. Ace Idoni, he's like the equalizer. Man. He's very hard to contain. Even with what they were doing on defense, I think he had maybe 65 yards on the first drive, went down there and scored, and really set the tone for us on offense. CJ, man, CJ, quite the character. A lot of swag to his game. He's really developing into that leader role that I want from him. I always tell him, man, you're a leader by trade, captain by trade as the quarterback. So things are going well. They're going to look towards you. When things aren't going well, they're going to look towards you. So you got to be able to lead us and pull us out of holes when we need it, and make sure that we step on the gas when we get the opportunity.
CJ Barker is his name, right? And he's a senior. I've seen the highlights. He can do some things with the football, right?
Absolutely.
So what are some impressive things about him that he brings to the football field?
The first thing for me was, man, he's a tremendous worker. His work ethic is is really second to none. Especially, when it comes to the high school level. As soon as we had a heartbreaking loss last year in the playoffs. Just about immediately, he was, back in the lab, with his quarterback coach and, doing his strength and conditioning, agility and all that. So that's what I loved about him. And I knew that he was going to progress because of the things that I saw him doing. But now, man, as a player, like I said, that, the confidence that he has, he's got a stronger arm this year. He trusts himself a little bit more, and, man, he's got weapons out there. Brian Roberson, Furman Solorzano, So he's special, man. He's a playmaker. If he doesn't see what he likes and he tucks that ball, the defense got to be ready. He's very multidimensional. He's made huge plays for us.
And you and your coaching staff, are you cool with that? Are you sometimes like, man, stick to the script, but if he can make a play, he's got the freedom to do that?
Yeah, that's more so my thing. because one thing that I really wanted him to focus on last year is tucking it and running. At times a pocket will break down and, you get a little anxious. I can only imagine, I ain't never been back there before, but I see some quarterbacks' faces.
But you're the one chasing them. You're the one making them break out back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I just wanted him to use his legs a little bit more because he has the ability. He's very athletic. He eats up ground pretty quickly. He had some great runs on Thursday night. We knew we wanted to use our quarterback run game. And it was very effective. So, man, proud of CJ. Love the kid, man. Wish I had him a few more years.
That's right. He's a senior. He's a senior already. All right. So who are some other dudes that you guys have leaned on this year that you want to get a shout out that's done great things for the program?
I think our linemen as a whole, those guys don't miss very often, if ever. Throughout the entire offseason, and all the games that we've been through so far, those guys are at practice each and every day, grinding it out. Big David, Fernando, Noah, Ruben Hernandez, number 77. He's one of our main impact players on both sides of the ball. Man, he's been detrimental for us. What he's been able to do, stopping the run. Big boy even got him a couple sacks that I tease him about all the time. But he's been great for us. And then on the defensive side of the ball, man, my secondary is very good. Dupree Evans, 4.0 student. He's been an all-league player every single year. And it just seems like people don't even want to, you know, try it.
Throw that way, huh?
Like, Dupree, I'm sorry, man. You're going to have a lot of boring games. But then, man, Mikey Rodriguez is a missile on the field. Julian Maldonado has, man, really came into form. He's been a leader for us, not just on defense, but as a whole, man. So I'm very, very, very proud of that kid. And then we got some other guys coming along as well, man. Jerry Thomas has been flying all over the field. So, man, as a defensive guy, they've made me very happy.
And are you the defense coordinator? That's kind of you're in charge, or are you kind of doing a little bit of everything?
No, yeah, I try to, you know, I let my coaches coach. I have a great coaching staff, in my opinion, as well as, you know, the opinions of many others. My defensive coordinator is Rudy Lopez. Branch, you know, he's one of those Clovis North branches.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's played for some, man, he's played for some very good coaches. And he brings what he learns, brings it to the table for us. And he's a great coach, man. The kids love him. I love him. You know what I mean? We speak the same language. We don't like to give up anything, no matter how
matter scores 50-0, yeah. Right? Like, don't give that up, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. So, you know, we carry the same mindset there, and I think that's why we get along so well.
That's good. That's good. Talking with Ricky McCoy, head coach at Roosevelt High School. All right, so we chatted a little bit before you came on air. You got a big one, man, on Thursday. You're able to check out McLean last night. Mm-hmm. McLean High School, what, 7 o'clock? Is that what time? 7:30?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
okay.
Those Thursday games will be there.
Okay. What do you got to do? I mean, Andrew Pancotti's got that team rolling right now. A lot of lopsided scores, kind of some of your scores as well. But what are some matchups that you're looking forward to? What type of game are you going to have to bring against McLean?
I mean, if you watch them play, they are very true to who they are. They got a pretty good stable of receivers, you know, that they like to get out in the space. You know, they want to get over the top, so those will definitely be our points of emphasis. Not getting beat deep, tackling in space. Those guys are shifty, man. I can't, you know, as much as I am not a fan of McLean, you know, I got to be honest and give credit where it's due. Those are some good athletes. So I think what we'll take this game over is through the trenches. As I said, my running back, Esai Doni. I don't really think there is a game plan to slow him down unless you put 9 in the box, slant and blitz every single play, you know. So he's the one that's going to make the game interesting. Our offensive line is going to make the game interesting. You know, they got a good quarterback who can take off out of the pocket as well. So, you know, we got to make sure that that we contain, play a clean game, you know, keep our poise. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a chippy one.
And your DB is going to get some action that you're talking about. Like, hey, they're not going to throw you away. He's got to be on that game, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, this is a game that, you know, I don't want my kids, you know, we take it week by week. You know, I don't want them looking forward. I don't want them overlooking the team that we're playing each week. But, you know, me as a coach, I can compartmentalize. So this is a game that I've been getting ready for quite a while. So, yeah, man, we're looking forward to it.
That's going to be a fun one. I want to talk about the culture that you've brought in. You know, you brought in your coaching staff. You said everybody loves your DC and, you know, all the guys that you bring in. And, you know, I saw you nodding your head when I was doing my opener. Like, yeah, high school sports is special, right? It's a different animal, and you played at the next level. We'll get into that a little bit as well. But, like, talk about the culture that you have tried to bring to Roosevelt. You're also on campus, right?
Yes, sir.
All day as well. So just what have you instilled in these young men?
I think the understanding of, you know, there's no secret recipe to being good or great. Everybody knows what it is. It's hard work and dedication. And it sounds very simple, but it's hard to do, and it's hard to stick to for a long time. So, you know, they say forget about motivation. Discipline is the thing that you want to get after. So that's been the biggest thing, discipline. You know, I have to be a little bit harder on them sometimes than I want to. But, you know, we're in the area where they kind of, you know, they respond to that. And they've been great about it. But the main thing about this culture is, and what I wanted to create is the ultimate competitors on the field. You know, in the past, we've kind of had this stigma around us that, when things aren't going so well, you know, we point the finger and we start arguing. So, you know, last year I'm like, man, if we don't win any games, I guarantee you is one thing that I'm going to get rid of, and it's that. And now it's progressed this year to, you know, the next level of competitiveness. And these kids are, man, they're they're very competitive. They love to play together. They love to beat whoever's on the other side. So, you know, our thing is kind of whatever it takes is a motto that we use quite often. So, yeah, you know, not backing down the roadblocks, being able to be persistent and get through those tough times. I mean, you know, we're going to play teams where, you know, they got good players, man. Yeah. So, you know, players are going to happen. We can't shut down because of that. You know, being able to regroup and come back out, to me, is what being an ultimate competitor is all about.
Did it take a while for you, Coach McCoy, to build that trust factor? Or are you able to, like, hey, I'm going to be tough on you, and it's because I want you to be a better person. But that trust factor is huge, right?
Absolutely.
Did it take a while for them to, like, still checking you out a little bit? Like, does this guy have my best interest in mind? Mm-hmm. Was that a thing with you, or did it pretty much come natural?
I mean, it came pretty natural. You know, I've been around the past mm-hmm. couple of years. You know, I was playing arena ball, so I was, you know, kind of in and out. I would always kind of show up late through the season and, you know, kind of help out where I could. But, I mean, it was rather natural. I think the thing that that needed to be addressed was, you know, they kind of had to see what they can get away with,
yeah,
you know, here and there. So, yeah, that was the emphasis that I had to make right from the jump. Because, you know, I am on campus, so a lot of the times, you know, our kids can lack discipline. You know, they're not always going home to the best situations, and, you know, they might even be more added onto their plate when they get home. So that's my biggest thing on campus. You know, teachers are going to reach out to me. VPs are going to reach out to me because they know that I will certainly do something about it, make sure that, you know, our kids are disciplined, and that's something that I, you know, I take to heart. I want our kids to not just be good football players, but, you know, good young men. The things that were instilled in me from, you know, Coach Chris Peterson and Jeff Tedford that have really, you know, stuck with me as my time coaching so far.
Absolutely. And I found that, you know, my years in education as well and coaching, that kids are, they always got a little, they can side eye you a little bit and like, all right, let me check this guy out. Let's see how far I can go.
Right.
And they respond to structure, believe it or not, right? The kids respond to structure. They actually want it and they crave it.
Absolutely.
And they become better people for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So talk to me. We've talked a little bit about your father and his inspiration to you. We had a little bit of a connection too that we didn't know. So your dad and I are about the same age, and you know, he was, I remember that name, man. Andre was a phenomenal basketball player. He was an absolute dude. So you know, what did your father mean to you, and what did he still instill in you?
Everything, man. My pops is my lifeline. You know, he's my backbone, my spine, as they would say. Whenever I've had any issue, you know, conflicting about things, even, you know, taking the job as a head coach, yeah, as you know, as young as I am, it was something that I had to clear with him. And all he's ever done my entire life was push confidence into me. So whatever, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it. But, you know, don't fool yourself. You still got to do X, Y, Z. You know, he was a tremendous worker. I mean, you know, work all day, work all night, come home, still make sure that he spends time with us. And, you know, he's a huge guy as well, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just always felt very protected with my pops. Yeah, I mean, even till this day, if I have any issue, you know, big or small, you know, I got to call pops and make sure that, you know, he's clearing the decision that I'm making. But, yeah, he's always in my corner, man. I love that guy to death. And I make sure I tell him every time that I can.
That's fantastic. Can he still shoot the rock, though? He still got a jumper?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
He still got a little bit?
That's muscle memory, man. You know that don't leave. But what I, like I said before we got on, the thing that I, you know, wish I could have took from my father was some of them hops, man. Yeah.
Your brother got the gene, you
didn't?
Yeah,
man. It all, you know, it all went to my big brother, man. This dude could jump up off the couch and between the legs, dunk. You know, I'm still trying to touch the rim, you know what I mean, while I'm watching this. Everything I got, I had to work hard for. At least I can say that.
You couldn't even put down a tennis ball? You know, you kind of go tennis ball, then volleyball, then basketball. That never came to you?
Yeah, I had to drop a little weight first.
Okay.
Yeah, I was able to get up there. Semi get up there.
All right. I remember the first time I was able to pop the rim. Like, hey, why can't I do this every time? And then the muscle memory, right,
yeah,
that you talked about comes back. All right, let's go back a little bit to your days playing high school football. Roosevelt, right, as well. What year did you end up graduating high school?
2015.
Like, what do you remember from those days, right? Like, good, bad, ugly, a little bit of everything. Like, obviously, you're a pretty high recruit as well. We'll get into that in just a second. But, like, what are some of your takeaways from those days?
Well, I had a great coach my senior year, Derek Sacheray. You know, that name is pretty known through the valley. He's got some kids that are, man.
Pretty good athletes, too.
Yeah. You know, those are my brothers, man. So
don't forget Mama, too. Mama could, she could do some things on the softball field and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Sacheray is a disciplinarian, but, you know, everybody's got to get disciplined. So she's the one that makes sure that he's always on track. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we had a good team. You know, we had some good athletes. But there was, you know, just more things that we had to put together. And, you know, we wish we had more time with Coach Sacheray. But when he came in, he did everything that he could. And for me, he showed me what it's like to have a coach who cares about you beyond football. You know, guys are going to say that all the time. But, you know, he truly showed it. You know, whenever I needed anything, he had my back. Going through tough times at home or whatever else, you know, he always had me. I needed a meal. You know, he had me. If I needed a ride home, he had me. So, you know, that's that trust factor that we talked about. And I try to do the same thing for my kids. You know, as a former player, you're always going to take the things that your your coaches did and they instilled in you. And, you know, that's what you're going to run with. You know, whether you're, you know, it's the offense that you did in college or, you know, the defense that you ran when you were in the pros or whatever it is, you know, that's always what you're going to fall back on. So, yeah, Coach Sacheray was a huge inspiration for me, even still to this day. Always, you know, tapping in with them whenever I have any, you know, questions, you know, that I don't want to ask anybody else. It might seem obvious or whatever. He's the one that I call up. So, yeah, love that guy.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You sounds like you've had some lot of mentors or people that have breathed life into you. Now you're breathing life into the kids at Roosevelt High School. All right. So you go to University of Washington for a couple years, play under Chris Peterson, and then you come back home, right? Is that kind of how you kind of phrase that? Like, I came back home to Fresno State and wanted to be a Bulldog. What was kind of going through your mind in that transition period?
Yeah, so at Washington, man, just being honest, I came in a little, you know, I was a little overwhelmed when I got there. Funny story that I always tell is my junior year, you know, when I had got the offer, you know, I was looking around and stuff. When I took that trip to Seattle, man, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah,
like, man,
yeah, the y'all mountains, got, yeah, everything. Yeah.
Yeah, y'all got me sold. but I had this countdown on my phone. It had to be like 200 days or something like that. And it was, you know, this is when I'm taking off. And when I got there, man, talk about homesick. I'd never been away from home before. I didn't realize how far away I was. And, man, I couldn't, you know, I can't reach out to, you know, my woman or my pops or my mom. You know, I could call them, but it's not the same. But I enjoyed my time in Seattle. It was, man, it's a beautiful place. I played with some very talented players. And I learned a lot from them, but mostly from Coach Peterson. I mean, he runs, you know, one of the best programs in college football. I mean, it's no secret what he did at Boise, you know, what he did with us at, you know, UW and eventually being in the, you know, top four. But, yeah, I took a lot away from there. I had some issues going on back home. With mom, who, you know, I've always been a mama's boy. So, you know, it was hard to be away while she was dealing with those things and, you know, coaching changes and this and that. But that was, you know, that was the biggest thing for me. It drew me back. You know, mom was never going to be able to come out there and see me play. But, you know, we had Jeff Tefford was on staff at Washington the year before he got on at Fresno State. So, you know, we had our back and forths here and there. And then when it was, you know, time to make that decision, I'm like, man, there's only one place that I, you know, that I want to go. And it's, you know, it's where I need to be. It's back home. So, yeah, I was very excited to get back, although it was tough to leave Seattle. You know, I was kind of in a position where, I mean, we were kind of nose tackle you over there. Bea and Greg Gaines and, you know, Elijah Qual. So, you know, I was in line. But, you know, my time was coming up, but. You know, at the same time, I had to do what I had to do. And I didn't second guess the decision at all, especially now.
Yeah, especially now. You got yourself a ring, right?
Uh-huh, absolutely.
All right, so you get to Fresno State. Mm-hmm. Feels like home. You learned a lot from Coach Peterson in that program. Just kind of walk us through that time at Fresno State. And then I want to definitely talk about that championship game against Boise as well. So just kind of like your some of your favorite stuff at Fresno State.
Yeah, I mean, the transition was it was pretty easy. I say that because, you know, I step into the locker room and, you know, I see my boy Jasad Haynes and DeJounte O'Neal, who's, man, we've been best friends since I was about nine or so, who's also my running backs coach right now. So, you know, they made it real easy. And, you know, the best part about college is that locker room, man. Mm. I mean, you know, the stuff that you talk through, you know, even the games, you know, messing around and all that stuff. But, man, Fresno State was a I had a great time, man. I had a great time. Even, you know, on campus learning, I'm kind of a nerd myself, just to, you know, just to throw that out there. But, yeah, I mean, you know, weight room, coach, you know, Andy Ward, you know, and this is really the time where I really started to mature more physically, you know, cutting the baby fat off, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, truly coming into my time as an athlete. You know, great players around too, man. Marcus McMarion, you know, Ronnie Rivers, Juju Hughes, Mike Bell, Jeff Allison, you know what I mean? So we're playing on a special team. And as I told you, man, 2018, that was the most fun that I've ever had playing. You know, and that's from Pee-wees, you know, all the way up. You know, it was a great year. We were a good team. We believed in each other, you know, and we showed it on the field. Always had each other's back.
All right, so talk to me about where you were on that final play, one of the greatest plays in Fresno State history, the Marcus McMarion pitch to Ronnie Rivers, getting into the end zone in the snow to beat that stinking blue turf, right?
Yeah.
All right. So where were you exactly, and then how'd you celebrate? What was going through your mind?
Yeah, man. There was a lot leading up to that last play. We had a field goal block. My boy Boateng came through and blocked it, you know, put us in a position to even be there. So, honestly, that was probably the biggest play of the game. But, man, that last play, you know, me and my D-line brothers, man, we, you know, arms locked around each other like, come on, come on, come on. And he stepped through. You know, of course, we got to make sure, you know, no flag, no holding, no this and that. But – I don't even know if the referees would have had a chance to do that because we swarmed the field so fast, you know, diving, doing, you know, snow angels and, you know, the whole song and dance, and took that into the locker room, celebrated our tails off, took that to the bus, celebrated our tails off, playing. We get back home, man, it was a parade waiting for us in the Bulldog Stadium parking lot, and it was, man, that's a moment that I'll never forget, you know, just that type of support and, you know, how happy, you know, we made our hometown. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
Where's that ring at?
Pop's got it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love jewelry, but I lose everything. So, yeah, I'm like, Pop's, man, yeah, you hold on to these. So we've got a good little collection over at the house.
All right. Awesome. All right. Ricky McCoy joining us here. We got another minute with you. All right, let's go back to this season right now. 6-0, got that big game against McLean. What do you, if you could have a perfect type season, right? What would that look like? A Valley Championship, a league championship, to see growth in the team? Like, how would you wrap up a perfect season for you guys?
Our mission statement as a team is to win the NYL and pursue a Valley Championship with class, integrity, and academic excellence. So that means doing the right things, you know, when nobody's watching, make sure we're putting in the work that we're doing. But, you know, of course, the ultimate goal is to continue what we're doing right now, winning games, get to the big game, which we were, you know, a game short of last year, you know, and really make our statement there. You know, we want to have the best team in Roosevelt history. We're on track for that right now. So whatever we got to do to make sure that we continue rolling like we are right now, I'll absolutely make sure that it happens.
Well, good stuff. I wish I could have another hour with you, Coach McCoy. Amazing. Hey, first time talking with each other.
Yeah.
You had a little synergy. You were clicking. I love the stories that you have. Your mission statement is absolutely on point. You're doing great things. Keep it up, man. I'm a fan. Thank you.
I appreciate that, my man. Pleasure.
All right. Pleasure. Absolutely. Ricky McCoy, Roosevelt Rough Riders. We'll take a break, and we're going to bring on Stephen Hicks. I don't know if he's here. We've got to do a phone call. But anyway, we're going to talk about the high school football season with him, a little bit about Fresno State as well. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Those are the conversations that I love, right? I love chopping up games and breaking down the stat heroes and all that stuff. But guy, right? I love to hear successful coaching stories, and we just heard one from Ricky McCoy. You know, he's young, He's young, graduated high school in 2015, and it's his second year at Roosevelt, 6-0. He's got a lot of stuff figured out, and he's pouring into the hearts and souls of the Roosevelt football team, and it's good, right? It's good stuff. It's great stuff. It's life-giving stuff. We got Stephen Hicks right now on the line, sports director at ABC. He's got that excellent show at 11:15 every Friday night. I try my best to make it there, make it home as quick as possible. Last night I wasn't able to. I had some stuff going on late last night broadcasting. I always try my best to catch the show, at least tape it. But Stephen, how you doing this morning?
We're getting the voice back, Paul. I don't know if you can hear it. It's a little down under the weather this week. I was out Wednesday. And then yelling about football highlights doesn't do much to improve it at 11:15, but we're hanging in there.
And, you know, I texted you earlier this week and asked you, you know, is this time for work for you to come on? He's like, man, I actually called in sick. And you had to be a gamer, though, this weekend to broadcast last night. Is that kind of a thing with broadcasters, right? It's like there's no way you can cough on air or sneeze or anything like that. That's one of the big no-nos, right?
For sure, yeah. And I think, you know, those college football games, the broadcasters, they've got a little mute button so they can pack up along. But we don't have that in the studio, so we got to try and be our best when we're there.
Yeah, it's literal live TV. Yeah, you got to make sure. And right, broadcasting, too, you could kind of put the microphone down and cough and get rid of stuff. But, you're live. How did last night's show go? I wasn't able to catch it. Like, what are some things that piqued your interest last night?
Well, it's funny you shouted us out. That was our first full show of the year. We've been shorthanded, having a one-person sports department, but we added Sydney Berger. She came to us from Spokane, Washington, and it was our first full show where we go 15 minutes. And so we had all the games. I think we had 8 games last night. We had Top Boys for the first time. We had some sound from Kyle Biggs talking about Thursday night's game over Clovis North and that 56-13 kind of bloodbath. It was a crazy game. And then we had our first Friday Night Flashback. And who is more timely right now to flashback on than Adrian Martinez there, the QB2 right now for the San Francisco 49ers. So that was pretty fun to see him back in his Clovis West days.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. I actually had that in my show notes, but I wasn't able to mention it. So, most of the listeners out there know about Adrian and his story and, you know, missing his senior year and going to Nebraska and – right, after his freshman year, he was 10-1 odds his sophomore year to win the Heisman. Didn't go as planned. A lot of problems at Nebraska. Scott Frost ended up getting fired, transferred to Kansas State. Had that wonderful game against Oklahoma. You know, Detroit Lions, UFL MVP, cut by the Jets, picked up by the Niners. And you know this, Steven, he was one play away from going into that football game on Thursday night. If the Rams decide to kick that field goal, I don't know if Mac Jones goes out there. And so Adrian would have had to been the guy. Crazy stuff.
Crazy stuff is right. And you're calling me a gamer for fighting through a cough. How about Mac Jones being a gamer for fighting through whatever injury he had? I mean, that was just unreal stuff. And I don't want to say I spoke that hit into existence, but I was chatting with David Carr on Thursday for our QB&A segment, and I was like, you know, you're a backup quarterback when you're backing up Eli in the Super Bowl. Like, what is Adrian Martinez going through right now to get ready for that moment? And he's like, it's just you prep like you're the starter. And so I know Adrian's doing that there in San Francisco, and he took off the hat. He almost put the helmet on, but I don't think there's any question the kid's going to be ready for the moment if and when it comes there in San Francisco. Just, I mean, going back and looking at his history like we did last night, 39 touchdowns his junior year of high school, over 4,000 yards, first true freshman to ever start at Nebraska. History, that Cornhusker program is storied. He's the first true freshman ever. And like you said, the UFL success, he cut by the Jets, but we were running highlights in the preseason. He was making plays for the Jets this preseason. So, again, I don't think there's any question if and when that time comes, he's going to be a contributor for that Niner team.
Yeah, and I thought that was going to be it. And what a great story, right? You know, as a fan and watching him grow up, you're like, this could be his moment. He'll be, you know, he'll lead the team to an overtime win, and he'll be interviewed after the game, and he'll shout out Fresno and Clovis and Clovis West and all this stuff. Right? We thought, right? You just kind of go through those scenarios in your mind.
Yeah, not yet is what we'll say. Not yet.
I know exactly.
Scenarios are out of question.
Yeah, good stuff there. All right, so let's go back to high school. You know, track started, CMAC started, some other leagues are, you know, a game or two into play. Just kind of surveying the highlights from last night and scoreboard watching. What are some main storylines from this season that are popping out? Maybe even Central East and how phenomenal they looked against Clovis North, or is there maybe another program that that's caught your attention?
I think for me, the story is Clovis. I'm sorry, Central East. I made that same blunder on air the other night. Central East, I got to get used to it. They're just the top team. They look so good. And we spoke to Kyle Biggs after the game, and he was saying that was a statement win. He was hearing some of the chirping they were saying after the Liberty game and how his team looked there. And so, you know, anytime Central East comes into a Clovis school, it feels like they're making a statement, and they sure made one the other night. I think Clovis West, that comeback was as impressive as I can remember. I mean, it was 18-0 when I showed up, 21-0 when they get the ball before finally scoring. And I turned to my intern, Vince. I said, you know, if they score before half here, this game's not over. It's two touchdowns. And didn't they do something like this last year against Edison of Huntington?
I mean, yeah, the first game of the season.
Yeah, the DNA of that team, that they're just never out of it. So they could be a threat to Central East this year. I think Clovis High, I know they took a huge hit missing Maddox Merrill, but, boy, they just look so polished. And that defense, you know, second straight shutout, maybe the third shutout of the season. They haven't allowed a point since September 12th. And obviously Deegan Rose, we know what he can do. That would be a team that, you know, if you're kind of orchestrating, it kind of sounds like we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, right, and Andy Reid. Like, you got to orchestrate how to beat this team. You know you're going to have to get by them in the postseason. So those are a couple teams that I like that could maybe take them down. And then looking at the CMAC, boy, a great one last night, Sanger and Bullard. And Sanger just edging it out. I don't know the young man's name, but it was about an 83-yard run that set up the touchdown. It was kind of a sneak attack touchdown. They called a quick snap, and he snuck into the end zone, missed extra point, and 13-7 is your final score. And those were the two top teams last year in the CMAC. And so Sanger kind of has the foothold right now. But Garza, boy, that was a back-and-forth game with Memorial last night. I mean, we can go on and on down the line, but I'm looking at the slate of games next week. I mean, we had great games this week, but next week there's some, like, undefeated teams going against one another.
Yeah, we just had Roosevelt coach Ricky McCoy. That McLean game is going to be a fun one to watch. That's going to be on a Thursday, so there's no excuse for people not to watch that high-level football game next week. Hey, yeah, so Buchanan, you know, suffers that loss to Clovis High. They got Clovis West, Clovis North, and Clovis East, and then a Central game on Thursday. But if we go back to Central East, they got Clovis East, and I did that a bunch too, Stephen. So we're in the same boat about the Central, because if there's an East program, you're usually saying Clovis East, but now we got Central East in there. So Clovis East, Central East are playing next week. Clovis West, talking about Central East schedule, is going to be on October 17th. Then Clovis High, a game that we're going to have on 1430 ESPN on the 24th, and they're going to finish with Buchanan on Thursday, the day before Halloween. And Stephen, I know you spent some time in Bakersfield on TV as well in their sports department, but it seems like this year, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the highest level of Division I, the championship game, is most likely going to involve a couple track teams. It seems like Bakersfield is a little bit down. I know that tough game against Frontier, they might sneak in, but it seems destined that the top level Valley Championship game is going to come from the track.
Boy, it sure does. But I wouldn't want to count any of those teams out. We're talking about Biggs maybe manufacturing a storyline with, you know, talking about hearing the chirping after the Liberty game. Like, those Bakersfield schools, haven't covered them, they hear everything that is said up here. and I wouldn't put anything past them. You know, that Liberty team almost beat Central East. You know what I mean? Like, this is a team that we just saw this season almost beat the top dogs. Frontier, I was talking about, you know, Clovis maybe being a team that could beat Central East. Frontier beat Clovis. You know what I mean? So you can just go down the line. Those are some top teams right there. And the playoff change, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bakersfield Christian's not an option this year.
And I think they can petition to go up. I think that's my understanding. I'll try to get a final answer for next week, but they could petition up if they want
team.
To.
I tell you what, that would be a scary team to face. They really dismantled Tulare Union last week, 30-7, and you know, David Carr's you know, we have him on weekly, and he tells us, you know, he does a lot of offensive schemes for them, and he, when he can, he's the offensive coordinator down there. But he added a brother. Derek Carr was on the sidelines there the other night, and I said, David, what does he contribute to that offense when he's on the sidelines? And he's like, well, you know, he brings a lot of offense, brings a lot of expertise. I was like, no, no, no. If you had to quantify what your brother Derek Carr, 11 years in the NFL, Raiders all-time passer, when he's on the sidelines versus when he's not, and he said 14 points. He's worth 14 points when he's on the sidelines. He said that the first few touchdowns were credit to DC. So, I mean, that is it. That is a team that is just rolling right now. I think it was 35-0 last night. They beat Ridgeview, 5-0, 6-0, something like that on the season. So if they do petition to go up, that would be a scary team.
Yeah, they got it dialed in. That defense, you know, you talk about St. Joseph, the team on the coast, their defense is looking strong. The defense for Bakersfield Christian, you know, they had that game plan against Tulare Union, and they executed. So one of my takeaways from what you just said is the advantage Carr is worth, 14 points? It's worth 14 points. Hey, you know what? I want to explore this a little bit more. You know, obviously we are – you know, Fresno-based, Clovis-based, and we got the surrounding schools that we focus here, especially our radio station. But is there a little bit of, you know, of what's the right word, animosity almost between Bakersfield and the Fresno-Clovis schools? Like, can you feel that after spending time in both areas?
Well, let me ask you this first, Paul. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I got a brother. A younger brother.
Is he younger?
Yep. He's younger, and he actually has more Valley championships than me, so he holds that over me.
Well, if there's any sort of rivalry between you and your brother, I think that's what I would equate Fresno and Bakersfield to, is there's always kind of that younger brother chip on the shoulder when you're in Bakersfield looking at the big city of Fresno. And so, yeah, anytime Fresno's talked about Bakersfield, you know, they do feel overlooked a little bit.
Do you even like the splitting up of last year of Division One, Division One A and Double A? Again, Double A is the highest. I got to remember that. Do you like that? You think that's a good thing, splitting up? Because right, a 16-team D1, right? I mean, that's tough for some of those, you know, and that's why it's built to be, right? You want to win the football games and get a higher seed. But do you like splitting that up? Do you think it's worked well?
I did like it last year. I mean, if nothing else, for, you know, the splitting up the and allowing us to get to more championship games, I think that helped us having it be its own separate entity. I mean, it's just so top heavy, right? You look at just last week, or I guess it was Thursday, Tulare Union and Lemoore. I mean, those are top 25 teams, and boy, it wasn't really close. And so if, you know, 10 and 24 aren't close, how different is 1 and 10? You know what I mean? Like, there's just like 5, 6, maybe 7 teams that can really threaten for the title. And so if you just focus on them, I do think that is maybe a better thing to do.
And I don't hold me to this, but there might even be only 7 teams in some of the brackets. So we might not even have a full 16 teams in Division One. So that's something that is going to come up more as we get closer to the playoffs. We've got about another 4 minutes of the show right now. Talking with Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC 30. All right, so let's talk a little Bulldog football. Tonight, Nevada is in town, 7:30 kickoff, a little bit late. 13.5-point favorite are the Dogs. What are you keeping your eye on tonight? What would you like to see from the Dogs?
I think it's going to be a chippy game. I think it's going to be kind of like the Hawaii, you know, maybe not to the level of Hawaii, but these are two longtime, you know, conference foes that know one another, and there's a history with these two teams. And I know Nevada's going to come in and want to make a statement. And Coach Choate, I don't know if you heard in the week, but he said he's excited to come to Fresno and learn a few words in Spanish walking into Valley Children's Stadium. So, you know, there's a chippiness to these two programs, and 13.5 points, boy, that sounds like a lot. But I've covered enough college football here and covered enough Fresno State upsets to know, you know, you're going to hold your breath until that final whistle. I'm hoping the offense can continue to roll like it seems like it has. EJ Warner looks a lot more comfortable at quarterback just in the last 2 weeks than he did at the start. And, you know, just establish that running attack. It's a different kind of offense. We're never going to have the same passing numbers with EJ that we had, even with Mikey Keene last year, or go back Jay Kane, or just slinging it around the stadium. But if you can establish that run game, eat the clock. I hope the fourth quarter comebacks, the just comfort in the fourth quarter in crunch time. I haven't seen that in a long time with this Fresno State program. They just look so calm, cool, and collected, even when they're down in the fourth quarter. So establish, you know, line of scrimmage, dominate the time of possession with the running, and we'll see if we can get that 13.5-point spread that you're calling for.
And that defense, right, has been fun to watch this year, the plays that they made in the Hawaii game, right? Just right, screaming at the TV late at night. I mean, that's one of the great things I love about watching Fresno State football. I'll be there watching, and I'll probably see you down there and maybe scream at you and get you to see if you can look up and wave. But one more thing before we let you go. What's something about this year's Fresno State football team that's kind of going untalked about, maybe even unnoticed? You know, you've been to a few practices and the press conferences on Monday, but what are some insights, some things that people might not realize about this football team?
I think just what a great job Ben Entz is doing coaching this program. When he came in, there was a lot of guys that left, if you recall. A lot of star players that left. You know, Mikey Keene, Jalen Moss, Malik Sherrod, and you look around, you're like, who's going to lead this team? Just in terms of star guys, you know what I mean? And obviously we're in the era of name, image, likeness, and the guys with the most cash can get the best players. And he comes into this thing, and he says he's going to establish this physical line of scrimmage, physical play. You know, since the dawn of man, the bigger man has won in the game of football. Like, that's what he was saying in preseason. I'm like, yeah, but how can we have that happen, you know, within 3 months when you're establishing a program? And he seems to have gotten it going, you know what I mean? I think we get these pamphlets every year. Savannah Stokel does a great job running sports and information there, Fresno State football, and this is the best start a head coach at Fresno State has had since Daryl Rogers back in the 60s. I mean, think about that. Pat Hill, Jeff Tedford, Kalen DeBoer, and Matt Entz is off to the best start a Fresno State coach has ever had. That's pretty remarkable.
Absolutely, and I got to meet him for the first time, and he's very personable. He'll look you in the eye and shake your hand. He's got those big old hands, right? And so, yeah, he's doing an amazing job so far this season. Excited to watch them tonight as well. Hey, Stephen, thanks as always for coming on and chopping up high school sports, a little bit of Fresno State stuff. Rest up, voice, man. You got a big week ahead of you, too. Rest up.
We can't afford any more flu games. We'll get ready. Thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks again, Stephen Hicks, sports director at ABC. Yep. Hey, thank you guys for listening. That is a wrap. Great show, man. These 2 hours absolutely fly by. Thanks to First String Sports, Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Tanveer Singh for producing the show, Coach Eric Brown, Ricky McCoy, and Stephen Hicks. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.